Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Welcome to FAA Production Studios Managing Safety Podcast. I am your host, Amy Loboda, and today I have here with me Stephen McCaughey. Stephen is the Executive Director of the Seaplane Pilots Association. Stephen, this is a new job for you. You just got this job this past summer, July 15th, is that correct?
It is, and thank you for having me here today, Amy. It's a new position, but I've been involved with SPA for over 20 years and have likewise been flying seaplanes for over 20 years. So it's familiar turf. I now have just been given the opportunity to expand my horizons and be able to share my passion on a larger level with people.
That's really exciting. Now, you have an interesting little bit of trivia. Not only have you been a seaplane pilot for more than 20 years, but you have the unique quality of having actually been married in flight on a seaplane. Is that correct?
That is correct. Kind of had to do things a little bit differently and are true to our nature. And so it took us 3 years to put together, but when I met my wife and we were dating and looking and we knew that we were going to go down the road of getting married, I said, you know, I have this crazy idea. I'd love to get married on a seaplane in flight. What do you think? And she said, I think we have to do that. which at the time I knew I had the right person for sure. And interestingly enough, I proposed to her with Kenny Loggins, who witnessed our engagement, which was a whole story in itself. But he had written a wonderful book called The Unimaginable Life that was a great inspiration to us. And so we ended up going to a concert and found ourselves backstage with him, and I proposed to her in front of Kenny Loggins. And then it took us a couple of years and a move from the East Coast to the West Coast of the United States, but we ended up organizing the wedding and had 6 Grumman Albatrosses in the water at the wedding, 18 seaplanes, and we actually took off of Lake Mead. You could only get to the wedding by seaplane or boat. Took off of Lake Mead, flew over the Grand Canyon. We actually had an FAA guy, a FISDO guy,
wow,
perform the ceremony, which I don't know too many pilots to get married by an FAA official. But we actually performed the vows over the Grand Canyon, which was just an amazing, amazing opportunity. And we had another albatross in formation with us. And we came back, landed on Lake Mead, pulled up on the beach, did a second ceremony on the beach with burning tiki torches and with all the wedding party wearing leis for the people that didn't get to fly in the airplane. And then we made a huge bonfire, cooked fresh salmon, made margaritas, and told seaplane stories all night for a reception.
What a wonderful, wonderful, fabulous thing. 18 seaplanes, and 6 of them were albatrosses, is that correct?
Yeah, and that's kind of unique because at the time there were 25 albatrosses flying in the world. Today there's less than 12.
Wow.
Between economic situations and losses that have happened with hurricanes and incidences, we've lost some of the fleet. And so out of, today there's only a dozen in the world, so we would have had 50% of the world's flying fleet at our wedding.
Wow. That's just astonishing. And that was basically 10 years ago. So it's been a good omen for the marriage, I would take it.
Yeah, it has. And of course, during the ceremony, we got a lecture from Sweet Gamble, who was performing the ceremony for us, about how marriage is similar to maintaining the Grumman albatross, how it requires a lot of maintenance and a lot of dedication. And there's going to be good times and bad within the relationship and everything else. So it was actually really nice because the entire ceremony literally had seaplanes and aviation worked into the ceremony, which was very special.
I can only imagine. And Lake Mead and the Grand Canyon is just such a very special spot, too.
It is. And thankfully, we've been able to go back several times since our wedding with the albatross community. I subsequently went back and did my type rating in the albatross. And we've spent some very special times there. It's kind of infamous in the seaplane community. Those people that got to participate in it and that have been to our anniversary celebrations. I just had Oshkosh, and I had several people that were at the wedding come up to me. Actually, the gentleman that I did my type rating in his airplane was at Oshkosh. So it's created a kind of a special family for us.
That's wonderful. We're here with Steve McCaughey. He's the Executive Director of the Seaplane Pilots Association. We're going to take a quick break and come right back to FAA Production Studios Managing Safety Podcast.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Lavoda and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back to FAA's Managing Safety Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Lavoda, and I have here with me today Steve McCaughey. Steve is the Executive Director of the Seaplane Pilots Association. Steve is a longtime seaplane pilot, and in fact, you're type rated in the Grumman Albatross, which we've just been talking about. You have a very deep and special relationship with the Albatross since you got married in one. But let's talk a little bit more about the politics that got you to the position of Executive Director of the Seaplane Pilots Association just recently. How did you get so wrapped up with seaplanes you decided that you needed to take over and take charge of this?
Well, you know, it's a job that needs to be done, and it's a job that needs to be done by someone who lives with passion for what the job entails. And in my case, there's nothing I love more than promoting and protecting seaplane flying. So it was a natural. I had the great opportunity to work on the Seaplane Pilots Association puts out a magazine called Water Flying that we distribute to all of our members. And I had several years ago worked on that for a couple of years with the staff here at the office, home office, and then had left SPA to go work on other endeavors in the film world, developing adventure television that included aviation topics into the adventure television world. And so when I knew the position was coming available, I immediately, asked my wife. I said, here, the position's available. Do you think we should go after this? This would be a dream come true. It's kind of the culmination of everything I've done so far. And she was like, "You not only should you, but you need to, you must, and make it happen." And so there were 140 candidates in the total pool, which was reduced down to 8. And then ultimately, I was fortunate enough to be selected.
Terrific. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
With your passion for seaplanes, you talked about protection. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but the landing sites for seaplanes are constantly in peril. Is that not correct?
They can be. Obviously, people that are there's a couple common threads that we notice. Number one, if a seaplane lands and pulls up to a restaurant, the whole town comes out or the whole community comes out to check out the seaplanes. That's the kind of exposure we want. Unfortunately, in other situations, when a seaplane lands in a body of water, the non-flying public may, or certain portions of the non-flying public may come to a conclusion that, gee, I've never seen this happen before. There must be a reason why they shouldn't do it.
Yes.
And so that's a perception that, that we help try to overcome through education. Number one, seaplanes are very compatible with communities with the use of the water, with boating traffic. You know, our pilots are very highly trained. The boaters on the water don't necessarily have a boating license. You know, our pilots have multiple pilot licenses to be able to land their seaplanes on the water. So when it comes to a safety issue and an access issue, we have a lot going for us. Excuse the seat in the plane flying overhead there. I don't know if you heard that. We have a lot of economic benefits for our community if we bring it in, and that's kind of our job to work with communities and controlling authorities of the waterways to get them to realize that.
Excellent. And correct me if I'm wrong, but generally speaking, if it's a navigable waterway, a seaplane can legally land there. Is that right?
Correct. Tidal waters are generally completely open to us if it's tidal water. If it's a navigable waterway, we typically can have access to it. There are restrictions. There's, you know, local and state and some federal restrictions on that. State parks, national parks being places where you may have navigable water that is not open to us. And here again, it's a constant fight. It's one of the areas of the association that I hope to grow our resources and our ability to work in helping open up more water and keep the water open, because without the water, we can't fly seaplanes, essentially. So it's a critical part of our mission.
Don't you have a constantly changing database for your members that shows where they can and cannot land?
We do. We have what's called the Water Landing Directory that we publish once every 2 years. And what we do is we compile information from our governmental sources, from our members, from the operators that are out there, from state agencies, on all the waterways that are open. And we publish the most popular bodies of water in a book called the Water Landing Directory, which we make available. It can be purchased by the general public, but it's available for a discount to our members.
Terrific.
And we publish that once every 2 years. And one of the agendas that I have going forward at this point is to develop an app so we can make the Water Landing Directory available digitally to kind of keep in the spirit of what's going on with ForeFlight and some of the other aviation databases like AOPA is doing. And we want to bring it that way. You don't have to wait 2 years for an update. You know, you can have an instantaneous, real-time representation of what's going on these bodies of water. And so that's one of my tasks in the coming year.
That would be very exciting and extremely convenient. Absolutely. Now, one of the other tasks that to me is even more exciting is you tell me that you've got some work you're doing with colleges?
I am. You know, there's, to me, when I look at our average demographic, as seaplane pilots and as an association, our average demographic is generally 55 plus. Now, as a 44-year-old, I used to always like to say I was the young kid because I started flying seaplanes when I was 23. Well, at 44, I'm really on the upper end of the age scale for where I really believe young seaplane pilots should be coming into the water flying community. And one of the natural areas for me to go seek these young seaplane pilots is to work with both four-year and two-year or community colleges that have aviation programs and try to develop a three-credit seaplane rating elective course for them to work into their professional pilot program and aviation programs.
Terrific. If anybody wanted to get more information about the Seaplane Pilots Association, the Water Landing Directory, and also about the new college courses that you're working on, how would they contact you, Steve?
The first obvious place would be the website, which is very easy. It's just seaplanes, and that's plural, seaplanes.org. And then also you can always call the headquarters here. We have a toll-free number, and that number is 888-772-8923.
888-772, and tell me one more time.
8923.
Excellent. 8923. Ah. Steve, is there anything else that you would like people to know that really brings value to their Seaplane Pilots Association membership, makes it special?
Well, number one, if you engage in this activity, you understand the benefits of it. Number one, it provides you with a tremendous sense of adventure. You can fly to a lake or a body of water that may be only 10 or 15 minutes away, and yet it can be very remote and inaccessible by car or other means. And so if you partake in this, number one, then you understand the value. And it's important for us to be here to keep the waterways open so you can continue to do it. And then also to work with the insurance companies and the manufacturers to make sure that we continue to have affordable insurance and affordable seaplane products to make this all viable. If you're not in the seaplane community, come join us, please. Give me a call at the home office. Talk to our staff. Send me an email. My email is steve@seaplanes.org. And I'll be more than happy to tell you about all the benefits that you can get as a seaplane pilot. You know, you can fly to a local restaurant or a not-so-local restaurant and go have lunch or dinner on your with your seaplane. They're wonderful for family outings. It's really been a tremendous, tremendous asset that has enhanced my life, and I believe all the lives of our members. So please, it's a wonderful, adventurous way of life. It'll enhance your stick and rudder skills, and we would love to have you join us.
Well, I have to say that you're preaching to the choir with me, so I would put my two cents in here and say, yeah, Steve's absolutely right. I have never had as much fun in an airplane as I've had in a seaplane. Learning to fly the seaplane, it was just an absolute blast. So if you want more information, it's steve@seaplanes.org. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. And seaplanes.org is the place to go. You've been listening to Steve McCaughey, Executive Director of the Seaplane Pilots Association, here with Amy Loboda, hosting FAA Production Studios Managing Safety Podcast. Thanks so much for being with us on the program today, Steve.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.